This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batson with Svetlana Lakova, the historian, author of The Spy Who Changed History about the Stalinist Era, author of Spygate Exposed about the 21st Century, and now commenting on the opening of the Russiagate trials. We can presume there are more coming, but we can't assume it. We can only presume it because of the evidence being introduced pointing to outside players who are not in the courtroom. One major outside player not in the courtroom is Hillary Clinton. Her campaign is mentioned. Her campaign manager testifies, but as of yet, we don't know where this special counsel is taking this case. We do know that James Baker, called to the witness stand, was astonishingly effective from my reading. But your thoughts, Svetlana, a few moments. How did you measure James Baker's adamant insistence that Mr. Sussman told him he represented no client?
Like you, a very, very effective testimony, a star performance. I think, first of all, what helps is that he, again, was in a very high-ranking position within the U.S. government, general counsel for the FBI. That's one of the top positions. And just to point on that, John, is one of the concerns that people had is a DC jury, right? So, you know, people were concerned that, you know, that there's a lot of people who have these political views which are anti-Trump and they might prejudice that. And that's where the prosecution was so effective, by presenting the government employee, because, of course, a lot of people in the audience, or so in the jury, are either, you know, work for the government themselves or somehow connected to it, being in Washington, or their spouses are. Then to have the respectable government, top government official telling them the case. And, you know, he wasn't there sort of, you know, wanting to be there, right? So Sussman is his friend. And so it didn't look like this prosecution is in any kind of shape or form biased against anyone. He was an FBI government official, a former one, giving evidence that the U.S. government, which the jury understands the importance of very well in D.C., was fooled by this man. And so that was a very, very smart move, in my opinion, by the prosecution. Is that's how you present it to the D.C. jury. And his whole point was, I trusted this friend of mine, but also I trusted him because he was this national security expert. I worked with him before. And then the rest of it was the defense was trying to sort of throw him around. I think it was on a stand 1.5 days or like 1.25 days or something. That was a long time, right? Over something which, you know, as you pointed out before the break, is black and white. I mean, the guy sent a text message, right? Saying those things in writing. But obviously, the defense knew that this is quite devastating, you know, witness for them. So they were trying to pull him apart. They were trying to test his memory. They were trying to sort of undermine his credibility. You can't undermine credibility of a former FBI general counsel, especially because, you know, he was very clear about what he believed. He said he was 100% confident. So that's what made some of the headlines. Then there was a tech message. And that was his overall explanation of how, you know, how he operates within, you know, the people he knows. And he specifically said that had he known that, you know, Sussman was acting on behalf of a political campaign, he would not have taken this private meeting. And he definitely would not have started this investigation. And he was very clear about it. And there was no way that the defense could move that. That's one point. The second point that is quite, you know, and then he admitted when, you know, when he couldn't remember other things 100%, he admitted that. So he was a good witness from that perspective. But then there was a rather sort of funny moment there, which is that, you know, the government case is that the October surprise, which hopefully at the end we'll have a couple of minutes on that, but the idea was to create the October surprise, which is, you know, last minute thing before the election is the October surprise. It's the last minute sort of, you know, media coverage before the election. That's what that was the aim was of bringing those allegations to the FBI. Well, because the allegations were brought to the FBI in September, and then, you know, second part of September, the defense was trying to argue that actually, you know, it wasn't an October surprise in September. And that was obviously just absolutely ridiculous. And the second bit, which was quite funny, was that when they were trying to sort of pull Baker on some of the points, one of them was that, you know, he wanted to ascertain something. And he said, well, you talked to him for 13 minutes. It's the follow-up conversation on the phone. You talked to Sussman for 13 minutes. And Baker goes, yes, I did, yes. And defense says, well, 13 minutes is a very long time. And Baker goes, 13 minutes to 30 minutes. So that was just a sort of masterclass in how to give evidence. So I think with that, unless we have some, you know, massive surprise, I think that the question as to the guilt of Sussman on this specific count of lying to the FBI that he was not representing the client when and he wanted to help the Bureau as a good citizen, that's what the lie to the FBI was. On that count, between the text message and the star witness of James Baker, I struggle to see how the jury can not find him guilty on it.
And now Mook, just briefly, because Mook was tucked in the midst of the testimony by James Baker, a special request because he wanted to go on vacation to Spain, full stop.
For 10 days, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mook was the campaign manager. I was doubly surprised when he entered into the conversation so early in the trial. However, it was possible for the prosecution, he was a defense witness, the prosecution in cross-examination to elicit this information that Mook was told of this falsehood, the server, the allegation, the construction, the concoction, all of it. He was told of it and then spoke to the principal, Hillary Clinton, and spoke in a way that Hillary Clinton then acted. And so did Andrew Sullivan, who was a member of the campaign. So we have documents, Hillary Clinton tweet and Andrew Sullivan statement, both of which are products of the falsehood, of the lie. And it happened in the first week of the trial. Did that surprise you?
Yes. So, I mean, with defense witnesses like this, right, who news prosecution sometimes. So the fact that Mook, first of all, I don't know why they brought him in. Must have been some reason, but I clearly a mistake. And remember, so this is a criminal trial. And of course, he would have faced, you know, perjury charges himself if he lied. So he clearly was... I think we discussed this a little bit, you know, he was saving his own skin. So he made those statements, basically throwing other people under the bus. But what's interesting about that is Mook was one of the, remember we keep talking about this plan that Hillary Clinton approved, right? That was proposed by Jake Sullivan. So that he's the current national security advisor for the current president. But during the 2016 presidential campaign, he was a foreign policy advisor to Hillary Clinton. And we discussed it a few times that the document's been declassified, which shows that Jake Sullivan came up with a plan to tie Trump to Russia in order to deflect from Hillary Clinton problems. Right. And Hillary Clinton approved that plan in the end of July, right? That's documented. That's a fact. And it was, you know, then what happens is Robbie Mook was the first person to go on air in the end of July to say that Trump is being held by Russia. So he's the first person to say those words. So he clearly was at the outset involved with the planning by Hillary Clinton and Jake Sullivan of this whole thing. So it doesn't surprise me that he did all of these things. What surprises me is he admitted all of this. And not just about his own involvement, but also about the involvement of Hillary Clinton and Jake Sullivan. And this is big because the problem usually with this kind of trials is it's very difficult to get, you know, relatively small people to, you know, point to the big guys, right? So in a sense, it's almost like a mafia trial with regards to, you know, how reluctant people are to give evidence. But in this particular case, he was able to point the finger at Hillary Clinton directly, that she's in charge of all of this. So that's a huge, huge win for the prosecution in terms of the media coverage of this trial. And the fact that it was said under oath in a criminal trial format went into the record. That's it. So what are the consequences of that? We'll see. But that's a huge admission. And that goes back to, you know, the fact that it was all part of this bigger plan. So whilst we're specifically dealing with this in this trial with, you know, this allegation of lying to the FBI by Laura Sussman. But this bigger plan by Hillary Clinton means that there will clearly be much bigger, you know, if not charges, but at least allegations of, you know, this joint venture conspiracy to implement this plan. And the October surprise element of this is that just, you know, few weeks before the presidential election, people on Hillary's orders injected false information into the FBI and into the media to swing the presidential election.
In the Watergate investigation of many decades ago, the senator from Tennessee first proposed what is now a famous construction. What did the president know and when did he know it about the Watergate matters? These many years later, that often is the most difficult question to get answered in an investigation of Washington or an investigation around a president. In this case, we had it right at the beginning. Not only what did the candidate know and when did the candidate know it, we have the campaign manager saying October surprise, and that the tweet by the candidate, I believe the last question asked by the prosecution and cross-examination was, what's the date on the tweet? It was October 31st. So the first week of the trial ended dramatically with Robbie Mook saying very clearly that Hillary Clinton knew and that we have established in a tweet that everybody can look at that Hillary Clinton passed this information on to the public in October. There will be a second week, more surprises, no doubt. Svetlana Lakova, author of Spygate Exposed, and earlier, a much more complicated story about Joseph Stalin. Svetlana, I'm reading Stalin's Library, a wonderful new book by a professor from the University of Cork. Stalin was an obsessive reader and note taker. My goodness, you have to work through all of that as an historian.
I did, because remember, these were the days before the internet.
Right.
No, only way to learn was through books, and that's what he was doing.
I'm flabbergasted at the scale of information in Stalin's library that you can pull out of the note-taking that he made. Who knew whether he was making those notes because he knew someday Svetlana Lakova would have to puzzle them out? We don't know. I can imagine.
Yes, I mean, my specialty is before I got dragged into Spygate, and I hope I go back to that, is analyzing, you know, people's, including Stalin, but others as well, doodles and trying to decipher their war notes and things like that. So I'm hoping one day, you know, when this relatively, as you say, simplistic story of, you know, a bunch of really horrible people, you know, just using the security services to win an election and then to get rid of the president. I hope that once this is all resolved, I can actually go back to analyzing the handwritten notes of all leaders.
We have the second week of the trial before us. Svetlana Lakova, this is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.